Oh, do you hear that theme music? I know. Do you hear the theme music? We can't hear it.
Okay.
No, we put it in later. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get going here. Welcome to the show, everybody. We have, in honor of Father's Day, we have a couple kids here. The oldest, Austin Woods. The youngest, Ava Woods. Hello, Ava.
Hi, Ava.
Ava's not talking. Okay. Austin may talk later. And we have Dan Mitchell from 944 and the Mitchell Report.
It's true.
It's true, right?
It's true.
All right. They are... go ahead and tell us how do people hear the Mitchell Report?
People hear the Mitchell Report. We have a Twitter, Mitchell Report. And then we also... You can find us on iTunes. Just go into the search bar real easy. Type in the Mitchell Report. We'll pop up. We should be the number one under there, and we have some decent following, so hopefully we'll grow it some more.
That's cool. Snipe
in your listeners and, you know, ride your coattails some more.
And what happens on the Mitchell Report? Tell people. Because it's, hopefully same thing on iTunes for Grant Wood Show. You just type it in there, boom, you got it, it's free. And same thing with Mitchell Report. So all of you who are downloading off iTunes... Do the same thing with the Mitchell Report. Now, well, maybe we should start with 944 Magazine. Tell us about that, because you're executive editor.
I handle the Phoenix market for 944.
Right.
We've got 7 markets now across the country. Basically, what we are, the tagline is fashion, lifestyle, entertainment. So it's, you know, looking at nationally, you know, kind of entertainment stories and fashion stories and things like that. But then also there's a big, huge lifestyle element about the cities we live in. So the way the magazine tone-wise is different in Phoenix than it is in San Francisco, and the types of things
right.
that we write about and different stories that we do. So basically what I do here is just kind of show people what it's like to live here. I've been here for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I'm still learning new things about the Valley, you know, not just Phoenix, not just Tempe, not just Scottsdale. It's all
Mesa.
Over. And so it's...
Do you have a lot on Mesa in your magazine?
We've run a couple things here and there.
Have you?
You know,
okay.
They're trying.
Things
you know,
are happening there.
Main Street, they're trying. You know, they've got the Mesa Arts Center.
Mesa Arts Center is nice.
Very nice.
It's very good.
They give it a shot.
What about sitting next to you here is Steve Clausen's in the house also. Hello, Steve.
Greetings.
And
I'm the least important one.
No, and Neil Giuliano is back in town here.
Yes.
The former mayor, mm-hmm. former lots of things. You know, if you're going to... You've got to go and do something else because I've said I'm thinking about changing my first name to former because that's how I'm introduced everywhere. It's kind of old, you know, when you're has-been. But anyway, Neil's done lots of great things now. What about, have you ever seen 944 Magazine?
Well, not only have I seen the magazine, I think the name 944 comes from the original address on Mill Avenue in Tempe. Is that true?
That is correct.
Did you know
that?
I did not.
See that? I know my 944 trivia.
It's full circle.
That's nice. Very good.
It was their address, mm-hmm. 944 South Mill.
How many years were you on council and mayor?
14 years on the Tempe City Council, 10 of those as the mayor of Tempe.
But you didn't waste any time. You've been there 4 years and I'm taking over.
Well, it was either up or out at that point. You know,
yeah.
After 4 years as a council member, it's fun, but you know, it's probably a little more fun to sit at the end of the table instead of the side.
Right. And there was an opening.
No, there was an opening because Harry Mitchell decided not to run again.
Right.
But there were 3 of us that ran.
Right, but you know, time
was
right.
Seat,
you know, you didn't have to go run against the incumbent
right.
or anything.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. So, and I remember we had Neil was always telling me that I needed to get along better with Hugh Hallman.
you did need to. Both attorneys, you know, it was that legal thing.
No. We tried many times because Hugh was at the time was like the odd man out on the mm-hmm. council. He was the, you know, how were there 7 on there?
There's 7 on
seven.
The council.
It was like 6-1 on everything, and so we were like, hey, you know, let's try to include him more and all that, and made lots of efforts, and now you leave and he's in charge.
That's right.
Crazy.
It's all good.
Yeah, so he's doing all right, isn't he?
As far as I know.
Yeah, who knows?
I really, to be honest with you, don't follow it very
Seems
much.
All right. But what about that whole downtown area? Because, Dan, have you noticed downtown Tempe, there's, you know, the character changed, clearly.
Sure, absolutely.
And I would say everyone agreed initially the changes you were involved with, Neil, that were for the positive. Because when I was growing up, I mean, it was kind of lame down there unless you were... you know, a biker or something. It was great.
Now you're dating yourself.
Well, I know, but not being a biker, it wasn't so great. But then it took on a life of its own, and it was kind of cool, and had lots of independent shops,
sure.
like Changing Hands being most famous,
right.
Long Wong's, and, you know, a place like Home of the Pistoleros.
Yeah.
And then it became... you know, fairly upscale.
Yeah, it was a victim of its own success.
Yeah.
You know, you did well, you attracted people, the
right.
rent prices went up, the only people who could afford those rent prices were the big chains, mm-hmm. and it was a cycle, and now I went down there just
now
the other
what?
Day,
it's a problem.
Lot of vacancy, so it's going to shift the other way. Because
borders out,
rents
Copy
are going to go
Plantation
down.
Out.
Right.
Even Ruby Tuesday left on the corner.
Oh, did
down
it?
Down at
yeah.
South End of Mill.
Yeah.
On Borders.
Yeah.
You would think Borders out. A national change
didn't
to be able to
Plantation
make
it.
Coffee
yeah,
Plantation,
it did.
Out of nowhere.
Which is one of the mainstays.
Right. I think Mill is an interesting... It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Is that
yeah.
now you've got this peaks and valleys of
right,
real estate
sure.
that happens, and what's going to come back? Are the rents going to go down low enough for the creative class to go back in
I
there
so.
And really do something inventive there, like it was in you know the early 90s
right.
with the Mill down there?
Right.
It was really kind of a special time, I feel.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think you're right.
But now the really scary thing also is those two massive towers they built behind there. I read the other day in the Arizona Republic that they're going to revoke the building permit there because they haven't done anything in a year. So now they have to fortify the fence around it. Mm, and
a lot of challenges.
That
kind of
center point is a little...
Center point.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Because they were wrapped up in the whole Mortgages Limited
it.
Guy.
Right.
And so they were left out, hanging out to dry. So, yeah, those
yeah,
are
it's too bad.
Incomplete.
The time couldn't have been worse. But, you know, someday... and. Granted, it's not going to be right away, but mm-hmm. someday it's going to be really thriving, and it'll be a great project, and we'll be glad that it was there, but it's going to be quite a ways.
Yeah.
Well, it's, what you're seeing also is, I think, that to go back to that creative class, is Center Point 11, the old Arkins Theater there, they were going to tear that down,
yeah.
build another high tower, and do
mm-hmm.
all kinds of stuff in there. Well, those plans obviously stopped as well. So now they've gone in and created this thing called Madcap Theater. So it's community theater and different
cool.
things in there.
Oh, really?
I haven't checked
where
it out
the,
yet.
Where the movie theater
yeah,
is?
Yeah, where the movie
yeah.
theater used to
yeah,
be. Is now, so now they're
How
trying to
How come that
do
movie
something.
Theater went out? It wasn't doing well?
Well, you...
used to be the place to be.
It was, but, you know, you build all the 8 and 12
yeah,
and 16
around
megaplexes.
It. That's true.
And that's, you know, people want to go where it's easy to get in and out, where it's comfortable. They want to go to the flashiest, latest thing.
Right.
Theater seating.
Hey, by the way, that Tempe Marketplace.
Yeah.
Nice work on the signage there from the freeway.
You like that signage?
Yeah, it's
you know
like
exactly,
Laughlin.
You know exactly what you're going to. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's
that.
Great. That's really nice. Not even Vegas. It's Laughlin.
You know
it's what's
gross.
Cool about that? I was driving back from 101 way, way north, and I saw that red neon line.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's
I knew how to get
needed.
Home. I knew I just had to keep going that way because I knew I was heading towards Tempe.
Yeah, well.
You didn't know where you lived before that?
Yeah, I'm a little
well,
worried
you know,
about that.
There are worse things than having a little neon along a freeway.
Yeah, it looks like hell, though, to me. I mean, to me, I guess there are no controls anymore over there.
No, I would agree with
if that. If that went in, anything goes.
Yeah,
there are worse things along
I'm
the freeway.
Trying to remember if we approved that before I left or if that was under the new council. I know we worked on the development deal beforehand.
I have no problem
the
with the place.
Package,
it's the signage.
I think the sign package was after. But, you know, it doesn't bother me.
Doesn't.
The worst thing on the freeway had to be the Squaw Peak Pots. Remember that? From
that was public art.
Terry Goddard.
Some of them are still on there.
It's like
they are, well, they're all and they're like shelved also. Right. They've stuck them somewhere.
Right.
Well, whose bonehead idea was that? Honestly, it's like the giant condom downtown now.
Oh,
that
exactly.
thing. What is that?
What's the giant condom? I haven't seen that.
Public
civic,
art.
Yeah, Civic Park Space or Civic Space Park.
Yeah.
It's right there.
That is so weak.
The old post
it's not
is.
Really a giant condom.
What's
no,
something?
You're just saying
what
it looks
is that
like
thing? It looks like
it's
one.
It's rings and netting.
Yeah.
It costs like $1.8 million.
It's very expensive.
They spent a ton
Look,
of money.
It's public art.
No,
you may not like it. Somebody else might think it's nice.
Great. That's called private then. And let's go mainstream a little bit, not avant-garde here with the giant condom.
Is great. It's a, you know, they got a nice little stage if somebody wants to do a little band concert, that type
you
of thing.
You can't expect to like all public art.
No, but you can like some of it. We like bunnies and...
the bunnies in downtown Tempe.
Those are nice.
Those are great.
Those are cool.
Those are wonderful, but
okay, now let me
don't like little
let
rabbits.
Let me tell you how bad this is. Have you seen this, Dan? That giant
oh, yeah,
netting
it's right
thing?
Next to the ASU Journalism School.
It's
right.
Supposed to be a desert flower.
I will go look
what?
For it.
What? Right.
That's what I'm hearing. Because I have
flower?
Lunch. Yeah. There,
it's
I
no
lunch
flower.
At the
it's
ASU
one of those
Sparrows
cacti.
Across the street this
oh,
week,
it's weird.
And I'm sitting out there for a half hour eating lunch, looking at this thing going like, who in their right mind?
I know, honestly. Okay, let me just ask you this. If this happened, this is my example. Let's say I could do it tonight. I announce that I'm going to give up my law practice. We're going to give up all this entertainment stuff because I've decided I'd like to be an artist. And actually, I'm going to come up with kind of new art. And you're not going to be seeing much of me because I'm going to be working on this. People will go, wow, that's kind of weird, huh? Okay, so let's flash forward 2 years.
Right.
In 2 years, I have a press conference, right? This is what I've been working on. You wonder where I've been? This is what I've been working on for 2 years. It's big. It's unbelievable. And we unveil that thing. What would happen?
You would be blasted.
Oh, they'd go crazy. Yeah, they go, this guy's insane. That's the most horrible thing.
You took a hula hoop and took it
right.
And put it up in the sky.
And yet some other guy, they paid over $1 million for it.
You know, it was a woman out of Chicago, I want to say. They commissioned it. Now, here's my point, though, is that I think it depends on where it's at.
Yeah.
This is the problem, is in downtown, you can throw up anything in downtown right now, and great, sure, we're all about it.
Yeah, right, that's true.
They're trying to do anything they can
shake it up,
build
right?
I agree,
get
that's
somebody
true.
To talk about something.
Right, I mean, we're sitting here talking about it right now, so
yeah,
it's obviously
true.
Serving its purpose as a piece of public art.
Come on down and see
art.
It.
It's part of the creative energy of a community to have public
art.
Well,
and everybody sees it, too, because it's where the transit center station is, so the big main transfer point for light rail.
It's very strange, though.
It is.
No, I'm both knowing that. Well, okay, now,
it used to be, it's where the old Jungle Cabaret used to be downtown. They've gotten rid of that.
And you would know where that was.
And I would, absolutely. Yeah. It's between
oh,
the old
God.
Stuff.
You know what?
Who used to own that? Somebody.
I don't know, but some people called me, this wasn't that long ago, right before it closed down, and said they wanted me to look at representing them on some zoning things around that and everything. I said, I'm not sure where that is. I can't quite place it. Well, you know, let's meet down there. I said, no, I'm not meeting at the friggin' Jungle Club. I said, no, we'll meet in the afternoon.
Dateline is waiting.
Yeah, right.
The
yeah, that clown who always pops out.
Right.
No. So I said, I'll meet you in the afternoon. So I met him like at 3 or something. And we toured the club. It was mostly empty. Really gross. Like behind the scenes at the Jungle Club, the lockers.
I'm not going there.
It was not pretty.
One of those places you just shouldn't be in the daylight. It just makes it worse.
Definitely not.
They could have been doing good business right now because it's across where ASU's located downtown.
Oh,
so.
God. That place was really gross.
Right.
Okay, now I got a number of issues for our former mayor here, but let's start with. Because we didn't mention that we're skipping around in your jobs here, but you have been president of GLAAD
right.
for many years now, and you just stepped down from there.
I just stepped down. I said in February I was going to step down in June, and June 12th was my last day as the president of the National Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which is probably about the third largest national lesbian and gay advocacy organization, not the one that does the political lobbying in D.C. Mm-hmm. or the legal work in the courts. But we do the broader cultural change work, public education,
right.
anti-defamation work. Think like the ADL for the gay folks.
Okay. Now, two things, two issues. One kind of maybe more frivolous, but the first one pretty serious, and that is one of the things we discussed on the show here in the last few weeks is that the issue of gay marriage,
right.
it seems to be changing very rapidly, whereas maybe 10 years ago, I think you had a pretty large consensus there seemed to be in the country against it,
mm-hmm.
and the votes pretty much reflected that.
Sure.
Now, all of a sudden, it's just, it really seems to be picking up momentum here. That's point number one. Point number two is my point was, I think this, when you talk to anyone under the age of 30, there really is not much of an issue here. So I think this is an issue which will pass with time. But what do you think? What's behind that? Why is this changed so quickly?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people think it is quick, but actually the cultural change in this country has been underway for probably 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the images in pop culture, look at
right.
the media, the way gay and lesbian people are portrayed in the media today is vastly different.
Sure.
You remember soap. With the character that was
right.
on soap, Billy Crystal, or you remember the John Ritter's character on Three's Company.
Was he gay?
No.
That
he
character?
He played. He pretended to play.
Oh, that's
a
right.
Character.
I never watched that show.
But it was a top 10 television show for a while.
Horrible, though.
Over the top, stereotypical. Yes, it's terrible.
Worst show. Jesus.
But now, gay and
Even
lesbian
Roper.
People,
I didn't like Roper. Not just because of that.
Well, gay and lesbian people now are being portrayed as they should be, just authentically, real, just like your neighbor, your teacher, your doctor.
Not stereotypically.
Not stereotypically. And so people are able to understand now. And the thing, glad when I was still there last year, we did a poll with Harris Interactive, national poll, U.S. adults, and 19% of U.S. adults are now saying that their views about lesbian and gay issues have changed significantly in just the last 5 years.
Right.
And the number one reason that they give is because they know someone who is lesbian or gay.
That's what changed.
We're not in the shadows anymore. Right. We're not hiding. The second reason they gave is that the media is covering these issues. They're learning about the issues in their local media. Mm-hmm. And the third one was the
Dick Cheney.
No, it wasn't Dick.
Yeah, okay.
But the third reason was what they saw on television and what they're seeing in film. So the culture is changing because people are visible, because people are willing to talk about these issues, and so people are realizing the fear that was ingrained in all of us, and I include myself in that, when I was a kid, that, oh, if you're that way, you're immoral, you're disordered, everything else, we now know that that's a bunch of hooey. Mm-hmm. And as people come to understand that, we're moving toward full equality. And the marriage
still got a ways to go, though.
Still have a ways to go, but it's... But
like, let me give you an example. On Facebook a couple days ago, I mentioned that I saw the movie Every Little Step, and I thought it was great. And I got, like, many comments. They were going to take away my guy card. That was number one comment. And then stuff like that.
You're secure enough.
Well, I am. I can't handle it. And it was great, by the way. It's fantastic. But I didn't even get that. I mean, I was like, I never entered my mind that.
Yeah.
My posting for you, and that was Grant saw this. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
There, see, I think you're
the side film.
You're in there also. Yes.
No, the culture's changing.
It is. It's changing fast.
It is changing fast.
But you're saying 10, 15 years. That makes sense. So let's go back 20 years ago, 1990. Maybe that's what I was talking about. That's when there was pretty big consensus.
I was elected to the city council in 1990, and I was in the closet. Mm-hmm. I was afraid, you know, to be open and to be out and to be authentic. It's very different now.
And that was 3 years before Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up as a huge issue in Clinton's first year.
I'm always the last to know. See, like even then, I don't even remember when you came out or anything. I have no idea. But I'm like, really? Okay. And people are like, didn't you know that? And I never know. I mean, in my own office, there were all these guys that they came out. One guy was married, had a couple kids. And you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Are you
hopefully now, I think because the culture has changed, there will still be some, but there'll be fewer and fewer people that feel they need to live a lie.
Oh,
need to
exactly.
Because it's not fair to either partner.
Yeah.
So it's
like married to a
that was very common.
Jim
worst. McGreevy. Yeah, the cases are long about all.
It isn't fair. How about to the to the other?
It's not fair to anybody.
No,
it's not fair to anybody.
The kids.
And also, there was a new development on this here just very, very recently, where the Obama administration, Robert Gibbs, came out and said for the 2010 census, they are now going to start counting. You know, when you fill it out for, you know, married, single, divorce, whatever it is, gay couples are going to be an option on the census form
if they're married.
There's a bit of a controversy still about that, though.
There is, but he had said at the
but that's a problem again, because I mean, if they're married, that would take care of
that's
it.
That's the issue. You have six states where you are legally married.
But what if you're just
so the government should recognize that you are legally married in that state.
So they're going to
remember
find
the federal government
it,
doesn't give out marriage licenses.
Right.
Marriage licenses are issued by the state. However, the federal government does recognize those marriages in those states and grants 1,100 and
so they should do
rights.
It.
So
yeah, that gets
it's
complicated.
A little complicated, but you know what?
What about hate crimes legislation? Are they going to push that again? It should pass.
Should be able to pass soon.
You know, Arizona, first state to pass hate crimes legislation.
Yeah, it should pass really soon, and Obama has said he'll sign it, of course. Yeah. I think it's all a staging issue right now on some of these issues. And when the Speaker and when the Majority Leader are going to be able to put these things in and get them through.
Right. It should pass, and it's long overdue.
It'll
I mean,
pass.
We did it in Arizona in, I don't know, I don't even remember when, but well, early 90s, early maybe mid-90s, somewhere in there we got it passed. And that was interesting. You know, that fight, I'll tell you what, I won't name names, but I'll say a so-called moderate Republican I had a conversation with from Tempe.
I remember.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I won't say who, but it was a pretty shocking conversation to me because it was the Attorney General's office pushing this hate crimes legislation. And the first year we failed because they wanted to take sexual orientation out. We could have everything else, but take that out. And they didn't like it, but if we would take that out, it would go. And then we'll come back to that. And we refused to do that because there would be no going back to it. That was bullshit.
Right.
So it failed. The next year, we're back again. And again, one of these so-called moderates told me. I was given my kind of pat line on part of it, which was, I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, can't we just say that people ought to be treated the same and shouldn't be beat up because someone's gay or shouldn't be harassed
right.
or attacked in any way? And she said, I don't think I could say that.
Yeah.
I said, whoa. That's pretty stunning.
I think today those...
Could not say that.
Today, I think even that person would give
would
a
change.
Different answer.
I think there's a, so there's a good example.
Yes, would give a different answer
I bet you're right.
A lot of evolution taking place.
Well, and I'll give you an example here in downtown Phoenix. I've been here about 20 years, same mm-hmm. as you, Dan. And I think it was 90, 91, somewhere there. One of the big stories of the year that we covered was the city of Phoenix was considering an ordinance to extend sexual orientation in business contracts
right.
and this type of thing. And over here at the Civic Plaza, we're here at Marley's right now, one of our great sponsors,
yeah.
There were 6,000 people that turned out that night.
Wow.
For an enormous, contentious, I mean,
right.
it was the talk of the town.
Yeah,
Goldwater got involved with it.
You had council members wearing bulletproof vests. I remember reading
members.
About that.
Unbelievable.
That
well,
amazing.
Look at that. But, now, today, well, then, when it went to the ballot,
that's right.
You know, whenever it was, 3 years ago now, it failed to deny benefits because of the benefits, not
right.
the gay marriage part, but
right.
because of the benefits part of it. Yeah,
right.
And all the cities and towns, pretty much, I think.
Right. On the marriage thing, though, just you know, we're just going to have to wait for the culture to continue to change.
Mm-hmm.
More states are going to approve marriage. New Jersey may be next. New York may be next.
Right.
Even within the next few months, or certainly by the end of the year. And then I think we just, you know, you sort of put it in perspective when Loving versus Virginia went to the Supreme Court. There were still, I believe it was 17 states in the United States where it was still illegal for a person of one race to marry a person of another
right.
race. So there's still, you know, and the, most of those were in the South. And the Supreme Court ruled that those laws need to be struck down,
right.
that it was, you know, certainly constitutional for people of different races to be able to get married. But at the time that the Supreme Court did that, 70% of the American people were still in
sure.
favor of the laws that said, you know, no races should be able to marry each other.
Right.
That was
so
1967.
It was 1967. So the culture for the gay and lesbian community certainly is much further along. And when the policymakers actually catch up with where the culture is, we'll be in much better
right.
place.
Going back, I want to hop in here. With your experience, you know, working with GLAAD and your experience as an elected official, were people very blunt with you in their, you know, I don't know what the best word to be, but their you know,
bigotry.
Bigotry, hatred.
Sure. I mean,
behind the scenes, they were with mm-hmm. me, but not. They would never say that publicly. But
of course not. But mm-hmm. but behind the scenes, it was fairly
yeah.
obvious.
Well, and I spent 4 years dealing with it, not behind the scenes, but face to face with some of those.
Because you were
leaders.
Mayor and running and all that.
Yeah. Well, I was. That was when I was elected official, and then as the president of GLAAD.
Oh yeah.
We get faxes every day from the right-wing crazy folks all over the place. So.
Right. Well, okay, now, when we're talking about culture changing, last night over in Los Angeles, I finally saw The Hangover, which is great. Very raunchy, so for those of you who are sensitive, don't go. But it's just plain funny. I mean, what can you say? Very funny. But there was an ad that was interesting. It's nice to be in a different demographic because when I watch television, all I see are, have you got a going problem or fucking Viagra every 5 seconds, guys in the tub, or, you know, retirement accounts and all this shit. Finally, I saw something of interest, I thought, because it was a different demographic, I guess, for me. Although some of those movies I'd never even heard of, some of the horror movies coming up, absolutely ludicrous. The best one being Sorority or Sorority Row or something, which, I mean, it had that place rocket just to the preview. Mm-hmm. It's the some guy's cheating on one of the sorority sisters, right? Mm-hmm. So they're comparing notes, and he's stepped out on this girl and all that. So they decide they're going to, you know, play a trick on him, and they fake like she's dead, like he, you know, somehow she's died, and they, and he, and oh, what do we do? How do we? They said, well, we gotta dispose of the body, and they're gonna do a reveal on him when they get out in the middle of nowhere, and like, she's going to pop up. They're all going to go, see, you're an asshole. And, you know, we just want to teach you a lesson. Stupid, right? But anyway, so she's laying there, and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? And they turn around, and the guy goes, I saw her breathe, and takes a tire iron and beats her to death. And they're like, uh-oh, now she really is dead. She was just faking it, you know? And when that guy starts hitting her with a tire iron, they're like, oh, my God. Now, and then they decide they really have to have a secret for the rest of their lives. It's a really horrendous movie. So this is, it's now
you sat through the whole thing?
That's just, no, that was the preview.
Just the teaser.
So now I'm ready to go back to the Viagra commercials because I don't need this shit.
Yeah.
They were all like that. But one of the previews was one of my heroes, Sacha Baron Cohen, for Bruno.
Yes.
And I understand you've seen Bruno.
I have seen Bruno. And I saw one of the early clips and gave feedback to the folks making the film.
Well, and now, see, Bruno, here's the problem. When he did Borat, you know, so you have the Jewish community. You know, a little ambivalent on that. They had mixed emotions because, sure. You know, the issue there, and I think with Bruno is, yes, you expose the bigotry, but you also kind of, people are laughing. You're supposed to laugh at it, not with it, not laugh along, and a lot of people seem to miss the point, apparently. Or some do, anyway. I don't know if that's true or not. I got no problem with it, but I could see where that would be a problem because he's... So what do you think?
Granted, that's his humor. It's his satire. It's what he does. Mm-hmm. There were some scenes, and I understand they're recutting the film before it actually comes out, that I thought were not just offensive to lesbian gay people, but just outright offensive, period.
Sure.
That needed to be removed from the film just by I think by anyone's standard.
It would stop the crowd in its tracks.
There was one where the premise of the movie is this guy's come to America and he wants to be a celebrity. So he's doing what everybody thinks you have to do to be a celebrity.
I didn't know that was a premise. That's good.
That's
okay.
So he buys, because he sees celebrities doing it, he buys a kid.
Oh, okay.
And he buys a little person of color kid who he puts into a piece of luggage, and the piece of luggage comes off of the turnstile at the airport and goes around, and he picks up his little new kid, and you know, it's and it's not, you're laughing now.
No, I wondered why, because there were some things in
there's a lot of things that are really over the top.
There were some things in the preview where he was interviewing people about their own kids, like for a movie or something.
Yeah,
would you have a problem? They were desperate to get their kids in show business,
right?
Would you have a problem if your kid, like, if we dropped him off four stories? You know, and the woman goes, I don't think he'd like it. But it's okay.
No, and some of those,
be all right.
They contend that some of those are real interviews with real people. And
I'm sure they are.
Others of them aren't. His classic one with Ron Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
No, that's for real, right?
That, I understand, is for real.
What about Paula Abdul? Because she was in there, too.
I think Paula was tipped off to it. I don't think Paula...
Could she be that dumb?
Oh, I'm not going to answer that. I think she was probably tipped off.
Because Ron Paul, he's in there with him, and he ends up stripping down or something.
Well, Sacha Baron gets down into his little Speedo, and Ron Paul runs out going, oh, there's something queer in there.
I can't wait for that.
Well,
that's
the film, the film will do, it will offend. It will make some people laugh. Mm-hmm. It will bring the range of response, even from the gay community.
Right.
You know, when GLAAD takes a position, I always viewed, I'm not the president anymore, but I always viewed our job was to draw the hard line. You know, we're the anti-defamation group. We're not supposed to say, oh, yeah, but it was okay. I know you were only kidding. That's not the job of that.
So you think they'll come out against it?
They'll come out, I would think they'll come out with a measured response, but certainly not in full support.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty crazy. So did you ever get a talk with him?
No, I didn't. Hmm. No, he did. He didn't.
Or what's
the
word
screening
on him? Was he sympathetic to...
Yes, I understand. They listened to the concerns that we expressed, and they have made some modifications. I haven't seen the new cut of the film, so I don't know what they've really done yet, but we'll see. Another one, when they had that film, the Chuck and Larry movie, we saw that film. We actually saw it with Adam Sandler.
Chuck and Larry Get Married.
Yeah, I talked with Adam Sandler and his team afterwards, and they were very responsive and actually shot a new scene for the end of the film that really brought the whole story full circle and was very affirming and did a good job with it. So that's part of what GLAAD does. No one has to listen to us, but it's nice.
But you got you interacted then with a lot of people over there in the entertainment industry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot with
like the GLAAD Awards. You hand out awards. What do you get an award for?
GLAAD Media Awards are for fair, accurate, and inclusive representation of gay and lesbian people. So Brothers and Sisters. Have you ever watched that television show?
No.
Sunday Nights with Sally Field. You've never
watched Brothers and Sisters? I saw it once.
You're too busy going to see these crazy movies. You need to get some good television going here.
Yeah, I saw that once.
Yeah, Brothers and Sisters is a great show.
She's got like some sort of problem that she has to shoot up once a month or something. What is that? Osteoporosis?
Boniva is what she does.
Boniva. Yeah, that's all I know about her. She used to be hot.
It's an older woman bone thing.
Is it a bone thing? Yeah. I don't know what her problem was. Yeah. Everyone in these commercials has a friggin' problem.
Well,
and half
of
the time, I don't even know what their problem is.
Commercial.
I don't know what their problem is.
Well,
you can't even tell. Like her. I knew she had a problem. But she's like, you know, this is great. I only have to take this once a month.
It's good that you don't know that problem, because that's why you're not paying attention to it.
But
if somebody was doing one with a problem that you had, you would know what it was all about.
That's true. I'm not going there.
You could be doing this. We've seen those commercials already, right?
The going problem. I've seen that like 1,000 times. What is that? A guy can't even – the guy's sitting there. He can't get through 3 outs in a baseball game, and he's taking a leak.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is don't drink.
Yeah, stop drinking
so
much.
I would think, you know.
I don't get that. But it must be a huge problem.
It must be for some.
But the going problem is when you start drinking beer, it's like, I can drink like a 6-pack, 7, whatever, not go once. After that,
once you go,
every 10 minutes. I'm sorry, but you know, it's one.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how that works physiologically, but I understand that.
Like
you're fine. You can, like a camel, you can go, you can just wait. But once you go, boom.
Break the seal.
Got to keep going.
Screwed for the rest
of the day. I'm glad you shared that.
Do you drink that much beer, though?
TMI.
How many beers?
Oh, I can do a lot of beers.
Really? Yeah, like sitting at home alone watching the tube?
No.
7 beers?
No, I actually
That's
don't,
a problem.
I actually don't drink at home.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Who does? Some people
He just really drinks in the car.
Yeah, in the car. How am I going to have a beer like in the hot tub at night before you go to bed or something like that? But
what? That's
that
weird.
That was another scene from Bruno, actually.
I know.
Just don't bring your kid into the hot tub and you won't get into
hell. Hang out. Have a good time.
Was there a hot tub scene in the movie, too?
Oh.
There's a hot
Is
tub
there?
Scene.
With the baby.
Oh, really?
Which is what needed to get out of the film for a whole lot of
reasons. Well, there's a little action with a baby in The Hangover, too, which is
really?
A little perverse, but it was funny. I was laughing.
Oh, well.
What the hell? It's a comedy.
Well.
Bruno, I sent Grant an article on that because everybody's doing the previews of all this stuff. Did GLAAD get rejected for putting in like a disclaimer at the end or something? There was a story, and I can send you the story.
I believe this was all happening as I was exiting, but I believe we asked them to put in a little public service announcement at the end of the film or some kind of a statement, and for whatever reasons, I don't think they chose to do that, which is a lost opportunity on their part, I think. But
who else won an award besides Brothers and Sisters?
Oh, gosh, we gave an award this year to Kathy Griffin. You know who Kathy is?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't do a commercial for any kind of illness or anything, but she's really good. You
I
watch
do know
her
who she is.
She's great.
She's okay, but, you know, she does her old, you know, I got my gays out there, my gay this and gay that.
She's fair. She's accurate. She's inclusive.
Okay. So what did she win? Lifetime Achievement or something like that?
Well, no, just a recognition award.
A way to go.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Okay.
Martina Navratilova.
Martina Navratilova. We honored Barbara Walters last year for a great story that she did. She did a really good one. A lot of newspapers, a lot of television shows, a lot of film.
Right. Any other shows,
Milk
though?
Won our big award.
Shocking.
Did you go see it?
Shocking. Milk won. Well, what did it beat?
Did you go see it?
I saw Milk.
Did
it was
you like
good.
It?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was in the best picture category, but that was great.
It was one of the 5. Penn was amazing.
Yeah,
if you watch the documentary that actually includes footage of the real Harvey Milk, it's eerie.
He was
how
that
Sean
close.
Penn.
He was a great actor.
He's a great actor.
But the fact that you guys gave an award to Milk, that's not news.
Well, what are we going to give it to?
That's what I mean.
You know, story of St. Francis? What, you know?
The Hangover.
That's what
I'm saying. Might qualify,
the
too.
The Hangover,
but.
Yes.
Since you hang out with Hollywood celebrities, things are number one. What's the story on T.R. Knight leaving Grey's Anatomy? That's the big story, the big buzz. Apparently he died.
Didn't you not watch the last episode?
No.
Oh, it's powerful. It's very, very powerful.
Neil watches shows just nonstop TV.
It's pop culture. That was my job for 4 years.
What about the Real Housewives of New Jersey? How do you feel about them?
You know, there's an interesting story about one of those women. Which
really? Which one? I saw it for the first time. That is horrendous.
I don't know which name.
You want to walk outside and commit suicide that you live in the same planet with those women.
You know, they could do one of those in every city in America.
They are so gross.
Yeah, Real Housewives of Phoenix.
The only thing I got out of it was
lunching at the Biltmore,
horrible.
Going to the spa.
Oh, trust me.
They're doing DC next.
Yeah, they're doing DC.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Right.
I'm sure they'll get
they're
some.
They're going to have Todd Palin as one of the wives.
No, one of the women on air. I mean, obviously they're filming. Mm-hmm. And she's at a family dinner. I've only seen this once. It was the finale, though. They had a huge... literally, one of the women picked up the table with all the food on it and heaved it. It was a great, you know, really nice family they got there.
Folks.
Yeah, but in front of the kids and everybody, she decided to talk about her goofball husband who's sitting there right out of Goodfellas, this guy, you know, and how, you know, hey, he's got to give me a break. He makes me do it three times a day, and man, I got to take a break. I'm getting sore. I'm sore. Like, hello.
Wow, there's a commercial for that in the making. I see that one. That'll be her next gig.
I use that a little bit, though, because I said, I'm not saying three times a day, but I mean, you know, if you put me in comparison, I'm like Chris Young here on the Diamondbacks.
Pulling hamstrings. Gotta take a couple weeks off.
Popping up.
No, that's not, I don't think that's going to be nominated for a GLAAD Award soon.
Probably, no one else?
Probably not.
Let me think. What about Simpsons?
Going to be happening.
Simpsons good on those
Simpsons,
issues or bad?
They're usually pretty good. Okay. You know, there's been a few times when they're not, but their satire comedy is as well. So.
Okay.
Well, there was a big one this week, the on the Joe Buck Show on HBO.
I didn't watch that.
The Artie Lang thing.
What happened?
Yeah, what did he do?
Oh, what did
people
he do?
Were talking about that. Was
no,
he
it was
bad?
Oh,
was that live?
Well, it was taped for HBO.
Yeah?
So but it was a live before studio.
What did he do?
It is a total train wreck.
Oh, good. We love those.
Yeah, Joe Buck is starting. He's talking something. He said, "I mentioned TMZ is my favorite website."
Yeah.
And then Artie Lang goes, "Really? TMZ is your favorite website? How about looking like, you know, something like a sports webpage? What else are you looking at? Like cocksucker.com?"
And it went downhill. He said that?
It went downhill from
wow.
there.
Wow.
Beep, beep, beep.
He admitted he's a homophobe. He was talking about...
he did?
Yeah, because he said, "I'm a big Giants fan." He said, "I love it the fact the Cowboys have a quarterback named Tony Romo, because who doesn't chant, you're Tony, you're a homo," type thing.
Wow.
He tried lighting a cigarette on set.
And they made him stop.
And Joe's going, "Sir, no,
wow.
You can't be doing that."
Really?
He was talking about Joe's dad, Jack Buck.
Yeah. Oh, he did knock him.
You know, I don't.
He did.
It was a total.
Now I don't. I'm not familiar with it. Does this guy have any talent aside from just doing that, or is his talent being a outlandish,
that's
crazy,
does,
saying stupid stuff?
All I know is HBO says never again will he appear on any show.
HBO, then that's
yeah.
That's,
well, you know,
I'll send you a link to it. Anyway.
Mark Cordes, we're taping on Saturday here, and Mark is. Doing a gig tonight. We have to ask him about Artie Lang then. See what the story
Artie
is.
Lang's a pretty well known. I know he's
had
a drug addict. He's got a lot of
problems.
Got a few
issues.
I think heroin is one of his deals. So who knows
is that
what,
a problem?
What happened.
Oh, hold it.
You hop in.
Austin Woods, hop in.
Well, Artie Lang is on the Howard Stern Show.
Right.
You know, for 20 hours a week. So I feel like if you're Joe Buck and you have him on your show, that's what he does. That is what's going to happen. So don't have him on. But if you have him on and he's a complete psycho, then that's the Artie Lang show.
That's
but that's also probably why they had him on, because now
we're
we going to talk
about
the Joe Buck show before that? I certainly wasn't.
I don't even know who the guy is.
Barely know who he is.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So I just think that what it exposed was that Joe Buck is not ready to host a talk show, because he had, you know, if you'd have had Letterman or Bob Costas or somebody like
they
that.
They would have run with it, yeah.
They could have totally handled Artie. They'd have shut him right down. But, you know, he was allowed free reign on this show, and he does take it over.
Oh, he does? Oh, we got to check
I'm not defending him because, you know, I don't know why you would go on a show and do that. Mm. But, you know, at the same time, if I had my first show, he would not be the first guest or the, you know, 20th
Yeah, that
guest.
Was his first show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why did he have him on?
I have no idea. What does he know about sports? I mean.
Nothing.
Huh.
Yeah, who was his other big guest? Because he was in the... Oh,
he had Brett Favre.
Oh, Brett Favre. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, Favre. It was Favre, yeah, because he was talking about his deal.
That he is thinking about coming back with the Vikings. So
no God,
can't
that.
They just stay retired?
No, apparently
count
not.
The cash.
No, they got nothing to do.
No, but
hang
you know
out.
What?
It's hard to retire. You're going to find that out here.
I know, but you know, I wasn't a star quarterback either.
Well,
I wouldn't want to go.
Speaking
back and
of
be
that,
mayor. Why would I, like go around and run for mayor again?
I'll tell
or
you
something?
One thing: if Favre comes back and I'm with Fox Sports right now, I'm counting the cash on November 1st because it's the first game. Minnesota at Green Bay.
Nice.
Right.
Oh, he'll come back.
Yeah,
there's no
so
doubt
I guess
about
it's
it.
All about money.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about, since you've been in retirement now for
a week.
A week.
A whole week.
Yeah, we got to move on.
I'm liking it.
That's why you've seen all these shows.
Well, no, part of my job was to stay up on making sure because the media could call at any time. What did you think of that, you know, that representation on Desperate Housewives last Sunday night? And,
yeah.
You know, got to be able to talk about it.
That's a hell of a job.
When there's 15, 20 million people
true
watching it, it has an influence on culture.
No doubt. Okay. Well, great. But you're done with that now. Now you're moving on. Now, tell us your thoughts on your whole career here in elected politics was as a Republican.
It was.
And now you've switched parties.
I did.
And tell us why you switched parties. And what do you think about the Republican Party now?
Well, I switched. Two things. Number one, as you know, local office in Arizona, you run nonpartisan. You don't run with party backing. And,
right.
And never really
but they
had,
knew you were a Republican.
People knew I was a registered Republican. And in Tempe, that might have been a little bit of a help. But Tempe's a pretty purple place. Not real red, not ultra blue, but pretty purple.
Right.
I switched right after the election last November because I concluded...
Did you vote for McCain?
Did I vote for McCain?
Uh-huh.
I can't really remember.
Because you go way back with McCain.
I do.
That was a tough call then, right?
It was a very, very tough call.
You don't have to say who you voted for, but it was a tough call.
It was a very tough call. It was a tough election to watch.
Okay, so you switched.
I switched because where the Republican Party has been recently, and I think where it is headed, is too much in the control of the social religious conservatives.
Sure.
Even more so than ever. Yep. And I don't see it going back. I don't think they want a voice like mine within the party. Never had them reach out, never had them really kind of, you know, care about what I really thought.
Oh, you could starve waiting for them to throw you
so that was never going to happen. And I still want to make a difference. I still want to be involved. And if you're going to do that, you got to be in the where you can have that kind of influence and be involved. And so it wasn't in the Republican Party nationally. I think Mr. Steele heading up the party is wow. Yeah. And
what about Sarah Palin, star of the party?
Well, I think that that's a big mistake. Yeah. That says it all for me.
Mm-hmm. So you switched to Democrat.
So I switched to be a Democrat, and it's interesting because I my values are pretty aligned with being a moderate to begin with.
Right.
I kind of consider myself sort of a pragmatic progressive. I want to be futuristic. I want to be thinking about what's going to be good for the future. And Republicans don't want to think about the future. They don't want to deal with the reality of today. They want to take... They would just keep wanting to go back.
Back to Reagan.
Let's go back to where it was.
Did you know Reagan was a Republican?
I did.
I got that impression.
Yeah, because that's all they can talk about.
That's all they talk about.
That's
my
all
God.
They can talk about. So
move on.
You know, yeah, so
he was great. So was Lincoln.
Yeah.
Move on.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Jiminy Chris. But don't mention Lincoln because he had a few issues. Civil rights stuff. He's kind of weak.
Yeah, right.
And now, so back in Arizona, there have been rumors here. That, you know, you look at what a mess it is nationally, but Arizona obviously is a big mess as well.
Big mess.
And so here we have Janet Napolitano leaving.
Right.
We have somebody, you know, who wasn't elected in office, struggling, all Republicans down at the legislature.
Yeah.
It's a big mess here. We have an open seat then basically coming up. I mean, if Brewer wants to run, she can run. But she has never been elected to it.
Right.
Or she could choose not to run.
Right.
Democrats, looks like Terry Goddard will run. Looks like Jim Peterson's going to run. Some thought that maybe you might come and run. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting to talk about, and I certainly am interested in having those conversations. I know I want to be involved. I also know I'm new. You know, I haven't been around like the other guys
have been around. Yeah, but.
Well, and within the party. You know, and you got to remember, this is...
New to the party,
this would
yes.
This would be a Democratic primary first.
Right, that's problematic, but...
Primaries are obviously to choose your nominee.
But those guys, not only have they been around, I mean, Goddard in particular, he's been around forever. Now, that's a plus.
Sure.
But it's also a minus because he's run for office twice. He's run for governor twice, rather. And, you know, didn't make it either time. Peterson obviously made a big run at the Senate and spent a ton of money and really didn't show that well against Kyle. So the new face... New ideas, more futuristic rather than old school. You think that might be possible?
I think it's worth thinking about. I think it's worth listening to a lot of other people about and not really pushing, but simply listening and being available and then deciding what's going to be the right thing to do.
Okay.
I think I view primaries as, number one, to choose a nominee, but also to create and make stronger candidates.
Right.
You know, within the people who are all seeking that. So there's a coming together of candidates that's an important part of a primary process as well. Whoever emerges should be a stronger candidate in a general election as a result of a good primary.
So the door, you would say the door is open.
I think the door is open, and I just finished a four-year campaign, though. I mean, being the head of a national advocacy organization on a plane two or three times a week, raising money all the time, dealing with the media every single day. So I've had a four-year campaign. I'm going to take a little break from that. I'm going to be here. I'm going to listen to people. I'm going to talk to people, and we'll see what happens down the road. I don't think there's a real rush. One of the candidates is in an elected office and can't really do anything until January.
Right.
The other gentleman is, you know, can do really pretty much whatever he wants. And they're both good guys. And I've actually supported and voted for both of them in the past when their names have been on ballots. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
What issues do you think are out there that that interest you the most for Arizona's future? You've got a long career at Arizona State.
Yeah, investing in education. I think it's the one thing that if you take a break and you look at all the things that you can sort of set aside for a little bit and come back to it when times are better, if you set education aside, you could miss a generation.
Right.
You could miss a generation of kids and families whose lives will be altered by the fact that they're not going to be able to get a decent education. So that, I think, is really important. And then I also think what we're doing with immigration in this state, I think Arizona, we have to deal with reality with what our state is as a border state. I was in California with GLAAD and spent some time talking with people running for office in California, people running for governor in California and other offices in California, and they have a lot of similar issues to what Arizona is facing. So those are going to be a couple of really big issues, I think.
Right. And then
it's just sort of, what do we do with the fiscal problems that we have? It doesn't take a whole lot to figure out that the folks who are in charge are having a very difficult time governing, and they're all of the same party.
Well, you know, we had Chuck Kaufman on last week, and he said this is a real test of whether the Republicans can govern. And if they people could come to the conclusion, the voters could come to the conclusion, that they can't.
Right.
And the reason they would come to that conclusion would be probably one of two things. One is because we continue to have this battle within the Republican Party between the, you know, so-called moderates and so-called conservatives.
Right.
And so even when they're in charge of everything, it doesn't matter because they're fighting amongst themselves. And the other reason, though, would be that you just don't have the right people there, that maybe Republicans could govern if you had the right Republicans,
right,
but just not these Republicans. Probably the public wouldn't go that direction because they would say, you had your chance,
right,
you're out.
Right.
I've done that many times, and it's probably
One of the things that's been lacking is people seeking to really build coalitions, even though they have a different letter after their name.
Oh yeah.
Just because you're a D, you're an R,
it does not exist.
It doesn't exist at all.
No.
And the problem is
zero.
What I learned being working on a national level is that you can have really good and strong, productive relationships to move on issues where you agree, and then the next day have to acknowledge that we're not agreeing at all on this issue. But on the issues where we do agree, we're really with each other,
mm-hmm,
in coalition with other progressive organizations. We don't see that here. It's us and them on just about everything all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not a good way to govern.
No,
that's not governing for the 65% in the middle.
It's not going to get Arizona to where it needs to be, that's for sure.
But if I will only consider it and think about it as long as you're not. How's that?
Okay, good. It's a deal. It's a deal. You get out there, test the water, tell me how it's looking. That's fair. But Dan, one of the things you're looking at here is lifestyle here for a younger crowd, mm-hmm, and do they care at all about politics? Is their level of interest here?
You know, it's coming off of this election, it's people my age and younger. I'm 27 years old, so I'm in that demographic that's really was inspired by this, mm-hmm, last election. I've been doing politics for a long time and all that, so I'm a little bit different. But my friends who had never discussed it before, they're talking about it now. I mean, these are people who, mm-hmm, got a mortgage that went over their head. These are people who are dealing with gay rights. These are people who have are seeing their tuition fees, you know, quadruple. It's unbelievable. I mean, even to put it in perspective, just interns this semester, trying to hire interns was very difficult because almost everyone that I interviewed couldn't take it because they had to get a summer job to help pay for their education. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when it hits home, I mean, really at the end of the day, that's what it is. When it starts hitting you in your pocketbook, in your daily life, when it's in your face, that's when you care. That's when you get involved. It's not when things are going okay right. or when things are, you know, otherwise it's just this, you know, mysterious kind of building where people have, you know, statues of elephants on their desk, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other problem that you have in Arizona is that, at least from where I've always been and where I've grown up and people I've talked to, is that no matter what, everyone thinks whoever works in you know, state government here doesn't know how to govern.
Right.
Flat out.
Really?
And I think it's always been well, just look at the way Janet Napolitano was really embraced because people are like, she's taking on the old boys club, mm-hmm. all this stuff. Now, whether that's true or not, that's the perception that was out there. And so now I think you're seeing this kind of, you know, progression of people, and especially young people who really care. I mean, even whatever you want to say about Ron Paul, there was a certain sect that he really hit yes. home with, and people got inspired by him on a certain level too. So it's kind of – it's going to be an interesting time in the next couple of years to see what happens because – you know, you talked about a lost generation with education. You have all these kids who are coming from ASU now because ASU is so massive, University of Arizona, NAU, and all the people moving in here still who are going to deal with this, and they're not happy, and they're going to do something where they're going to – I think you're going to actually see some differences in terms of who gets elected.
Because you think there's
Republicans made a huge gain in the last election, you know, on the local level.
Right. You think there's a possibility when we're talking about these state elections coming up that a particular candidate – I mean, we look at what's going on in Iraq there. Young people and using social networking have really seemed to have moved the ball substantially there. Now, the guy there behind isn't like some young guy. He's an old guy, but he's a little more progressive than the other guy. Could that happen in Arizona similar to Obama, mm-hmm. Getting people, you know, fired up and out there meeting people 30 and under, 35 and under?
I think,
or do you think they'll set it out?
I think it could. I think it depends on the right person. And I think if they really want to go that route, go to the universities. Mm-hmm. Find the people who are really getting hit by this and are coming off of this election with Obama, and they're going to, you know, they think now this is how all these elections are supposed to run.
Okay.
And I think that's really where you start hitting it. I mean, you have rallies at high schools, have rallies.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's legal or anything, but I mean, do stuff on a university level.
Ron Paul thing was really pretty impressive, mm-hmm. because, I mean, I guess I can go ahead and offend all of them, but you know, I thought he was wacky. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a lot of really good ideas and a lot of really bad ideas, and just seemed to be nutty to me, kind of Perot-like.
Yeah.
Good ideas, some of them, but he seemed kind of screwy. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they could get behind him in the way that they did, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, how about somebody who's actually legitimate, like an Obama or somebody?
Absolutely. I think it's a combination, and we did a lot with new media and looking at digital media and the influence of that on the changing culture. And it has a lot to do with the challenges that are being articulated and who can articulate those challenges and provide some inspiration along with it. So you have to define the challenge yeah. in such a way where people go, wow, that's right, this is messed up. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be able to inspire people to actually act upon that. Could it happen in Arizona? I think it could happen in Arizona. I think the crisis going on right now mm-hmm. is probably a good impetus.
Could
for it
happen around education? Now that because at Arizona State and U of A, in particular in NAU, I mean, the tuition is really skyrocketing there.
It's like 40% in the last 5 years.
Pretty phenomenal. Yeah. I think, I mean, people are really feeling that. And it can't be perceived any other way except a lack of commitment to education.
I think, but this has been going on for a long time. When I was in college at the beginning part of the decade, they were doing double-digit increases.
Right.
1 year between, I think, my junior and senior year in college, they raised tuition 40%. I mean, it's been like that since then.
What if you went in there? What if a candidate went in there and said, you know, this is going to stop. What we're going to do is Arizona State, U of A, they're going to move to the top of the list here. We're going to be up there with the top public universities in the country. That's my goal for the next 10 years. We're going to get these... your alma mater here, if you help here, is going to be one of the great schools in the country. There's no reason why UC Berkeley, why UCLA, why not ASU? You've got people who are committed to that. We're going to make that happen. The state's going to be behind it. K through 12, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to say this is the best place to be. We're going to look for private schools to come in here. You know, we have a handful of private schools. We have some great ones. We're going to pump up charter. In other words, this is going to be an education state for if you're a college student now and you're in your early 20s, for the rest of your early adulthood, Arizona is going to be an education state. Never has been, but it is going to be now. Would they respond to that or just go, eh? Yeah, okay, whatever.
I think what it is as long as that you find the people who want to do the change there, and then you take that and tie that into everything else where it's a, you know, last week you guys on your podcast talked about the tax structure and how you fund education.
Right.
I mean,
that's
no one really understands how that is.
No,
I mean,
they don't.
You tie this to specific goals.
Okay.
Because I think that's a big difference on a local level is you have to tie this into specific things. We do this. You don't have to spend so much money to go to school.
Right.
I know for me, just personally, my dad, after he retired from the military, worked two jobs, and my mom worked at ASU, so I got a discount on tuition just so I could go to college.
Right.
I don't even think that'd be possible today, to be honest with you. I would have to work a full-time job, so who knows if I would even graduate. I mean, that's just not a situation that is beneficial to anybody. And, I mean, you're talking now, we can't become a state where only the rich can go to college. It's just that's just not a possibility for us to be what you're talking about.
Right.
And we have to stop the mentality in education of just it's not K through 12. Mm-hmm. It's pre-K through 16.
Yes.
That should be the focus on the full education. And so it's not just what the university system's doing and access to university, because we have to acknowledge that there's not every kid coming out of high school is going to want to go to one of our great universities in Arizona. But they all need to get through high school. As
right.
many as possible need to get through high school, and that focus.
We have a phenomenal dropout rate in this.
Way too high. Way too
well,
high.
And let me just add too.
Here's Seth Salka.
Yeah, there you go.
Dropping in the house.
When I worked for Kevin Johnson in St. Hope Academy in Sacramento, one of his big platforms was education. He had started a charter school. He had taken over the Sac High.
Mm-hmm.
Their big thing was pre-K. He started a charter school just for pre-K,
yep.
just to get them. Because once they're behind by third grade,
right.
they won't catch up. But the other interesting thing I saw in the paper today about California is they had been one of the first to pass this exit exam for high schoolers. They had to pass to get their diploma. It was one of the requirements along with grade point average. They had to pass the CAESI. Well, I hear that's now going to be a victim of their budget. And so the progress they made by embracing charter schools and making some progress took a step back with that CAESI exam going to be eliminated because it's keeping too many kids back,
mm-hmm.
which is taxing the public education system, which
it's
is already out
problem.
Of money.
It's
so
like
now
the
they have to let
here.
These kids go that weren't ready to leave high school.
And there isn't a good answer to this.
No.
It's what can you do less of that will harm us the least?
Right.
And so it's a matter of really looking at all of those different things. And
there are other states that do a good job, though, and there's no reason we can't.
Right,
we just have to say this is a priority.
Well, we have to have people involved in the process who are willing to have their eyes open
yes.
to other things other than what we know today. One of the
Absolutely.
Things I always said whenever I ran for anything was this is not about just what I want to do, but it's about what we're going to be able to do together because sitting here, no one individual has all the answers
True.
To any of this.
Well, do you think the college presidents are doing enough for this? I mean, you know,
I do.
Crow is obviously a big name, and there's a lot of mixed opinions about him, mm-hmm. you know, on the university level. Shelton down at U of A.
I think so, especially
I think
Crow.
They're pushing it.
But their problem is that when they look at their funding mechanisms and you look at the portion of it that comes from state government, you can't count on it. And it's always in flux, and generally it's a battle to get what you were supposed to have gotten in the first place. So when you start trying to be ambitious about it and move on and
right.
move up, it's how do you do it? I mean, they'd like to be – it's gotten so bad they'd like to be independent of state funding, which is kind of ludicrous, but I can understand that. So, you're going to have leadership here in the state that just says this is one of our main priorities. Like if we have three priorities – this is one of them, you know. But I do think we need to completely redo our tax structure in this state across the board, but certainly for how we fund education. Mm-hmm. And people, I think, are willing to sacrifice some if we could be first.
Are we too sales tax dependent?
I think so. Yeah, I think we are, and I think we need some stability. We need to look at this last. I mean, this deficit we have right now is absurd, and the, and you can see it's just because we are really at the whim of the economy now, and that was great for a long time. But you really can't have a situation when you have a third to half of your budget gone.
Right.
That's then what? Because you have all these fixed costs. It's really an impossible situation. I think we start over here.
Can we do something about that, though? Because that happened post-2001. We had a huge deficit then, too, because we were so sales tax dependent, and we didn't really change anything then.
Yeah.
More so, we even went even further into sales tax.
Well, the problem is, can you do it? Yes, you can do anything. But again, it requires leadership.
Yeah.
And if you have a whole bunch of people down at the legislature who have signed pledges,
right,
saying I won't, any sort of tax, I'm opposed to. Look, I'm anti-tax. Who's for taxes?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want to pay any more than
I don't want
my
to.
Share.
And I do think that they're counterproductive. This is one of the reasons I'm a Republican, because I think they actually retard growth rather than so ultimately bring in less revenue perhaps than more if you're talking about certain kinds of taxes, but. If you're just down there saying no, 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 it's not going to. Then it will not happen. So, again, you have to have the wherewithal. It's just about leadership to say, okay, we're going. This is what I'm going to do. If I was ever going to do it, I would say I would go to the public and say, here's the three things I'm going to do, and I will do it, one way or the other. It's going to happen, or else I'll die trying. But this is what I'm going to do. Period. So you know exactly what you're getting. And beyond that, I'll, just like Neil said, we'll get together with everybody. I could care less about Republicans or Democrats, and we'll try to solve problems.
That's what we're all about. That's what you do.
But here's what you're going to get. And if you don't like that, fine. And if you want to go with business as usual, go with these other guys. They've been around forever. They're fine.
Yeah.
See what the public thinks. That might be kind of fun for Neil to do.
I think it'd be really fun for the former attorney general to do.
Yeah, so I think it could be done. Okay, I'm going to do this Woody here and get out of here. Austin, would you like to comment on that? Austin Woods is in the house.
Austin,
I would just like to say
law
that,
degree? Did I hear he got a law degree?
I do have a law degree.
Wow, congratulations. I haven't seen you since you were like heading to law school.
Yeah, I don't think I was in law school.
Tempe resident.
Tempe resident.
We used to go to Brew and Beersh together
to hang out over there.
But if you'd like to hear more on that discussion, I would tune into the Mitchell Report.
The Mitchell Report.
Available
right.
on iTunes.
I love it.
We're not talking Harry Mitchell here.
That's why you're coming in now.
Plug.
That's right.
It's probably
about
it. A lot of buzz. A
lot of buzz.
Don't be shy. Dive right in.
Go to iTunes, type in the Mitchell Report.
Check it out. It's also twitter.com/Mitchell Report.
Beautiful.
Wow.
That is a great job. Okay.
That's good.
Now,
sweet.
If you want to hear this week's Woody, this is probably, I don't know, but I think this person's probably a real hero of the entire GLAAD organization, and it's Neil in particular, but let's see.
We'll find out.
You ready? Now,
We
used to have great sound effects and everything. We still have some, but they're put in later.
Oh, they're put in later.
Because now that we're down here at lovely Marley's,
right,
we can't quite
right.
do that engineering. It's called post-production.
The Woody is famous in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
is.
Great. Well, thank
and
you.
So I'm anxious.
As a former president of GLAAD, would you like to hold the Woody? You know, Woody's kind of has no opinion on these issues, so he's going to sit over here by me. Okay, this week's Woody goes to U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota.
Oh, one of my heroes.
You love her?
Oh,
okay,
just
well,
hero.
She's back. We seem to get a lot of loons representing us from the frozen north, including Minnesota. Is the loon the state bird of Minnesota? I didn't have time to look that up, but it might be. I'm going to email Jesse Ventura and ask him right after the show. Latest entry from the land of 10,000 lakes and 5 billion mosquitoes is Representative Michelle Bachmann, who's another one of these folks who says God told her to run for Congress, so she did, even though she didn't really want to. Who says God didn't have a sense of humor? Michelle Bachmann.
Right.
Exhibit A. Since being elected, Bachmann has called the Obama administration a, quote, gangsta government. Just hearing her say gangsta, by the way, is really gross. That's how she gets Ziggy with it. Like many self-proclaimed fiscal conservatives, it's also revealed this week she ranks third out of 435 in office spending as a congresswoman. What a surprise. This week she announced she was not going to participate in the census this year, other than telling them how many people lived in her house. She would refuse to answer any other questions because she's afraid of the involvement of Acorn. If you haven't followed, Acorn is the new whipping boy of Boviators from the right, and because of the politicization of the census by this administration, she's not going to participate. A rep from the Census Bureau pointed out that to refuse to answer the questions is against the law and can result in a $5,000 fine.
Good.
Not to mention the great example she's setting for her fellow Americans. Representative Bachman turns it into overdrive. Get it?
That's Bachman an old...
Oh, sorry.
He's too young.
when she further complains that the census is now very intricate and very personal. Intricate. Wow.
She used that word herself?
Yes, she did. Here's a question. Are you on food stamps? That is tough. What's your race? I don't know. It's too intricate. Michelle. Surely even you can weave your way through that complicated maze of intricate questions. You could do it. As for Acorn, believe it or not, I may be struck down here by lightning. Acorn has actually done some good work in the past. Sorry, guys. Some questionable, I understand. Some good. But they are not the Red Menace. Michelle, don't sweat their involvement in getting the census out. That's part of what they do. It needs to be done. Just fill out your friggin' forms. Get back to investigating whether the moon landing was a hoax or if Obama has a birth certificate. Representative Michelle Bachman, she of the perpetual brain freeze from Minnesota, gets a Woody. There
wow.
we go. Thank you, Woody. Yay. It's very excited.
Wave, Michelle.
Yeah, you ever run into her?
No, I have not had the... interesting experience running into.
She's awesome. She kind of comes in the looks category. If you check her out, she's in the Sarah Palin category.
Oh, really?
And not by meaning good, but
she can see Canada from her house, maybe.
Just kind of that same look—the school marm.
Yeah.
Decent.
Slutty flight attendant.
Come on, Dave.
Well, that's Austin's last appearance on the show. Great.
Out. That's offensive. I don't get it. It's true.
Yeah, no, I thought we thought she was kind of hot for teacher look for Palin is what I thought. Bachman, if you've got to see her, seriously, Google or YouTube Michelle Bachman.
I will look for that now.
If you YouTube her and see her talking about why she got into PTA, city council, and it's really friggin' scary.
Well, she and Governor Palin represent two of the clearest reasons why I left the Republican Party. Because if that's our future, then that's not.
There's a few of those in Arizona.
Not something that I can be a part of. Yeah. Oh, I know. We've met them.
One of my favorites is Ron Gould from Lake Havasu. If you haven't met him lately, he flies a Confederate flag at his house.
And
he was elected. Yeah,
and he's in Northern Arizona. I wouldn't say that that's good. I would not say that's something we should be trying to.
Unbelievable! Yeah. And he got elected, reelected.
Yeah,
well, he's one
of
the guys.
Everyone has a constituency, and they have a right to participate in the process.
Yeah, but
and
they should win.
The rest of us have a right to do everything we can to keep him in the minority.
He wouldn't stand when Governor Brewer gave her state of the state. He remains sitting.
Yeah, that's
for
just
some reason.
That's just
what
not helping.
I don't know the guy, but I think he's got one of those big mustaches, handlebar mustache or something. He's really, I don't know. I've never met him, but I'm confident. He will not be supporting either you or I, should we choose to run for anything.
I think that's probably accurate. That's
you ever, probably by accurate. The way, you have not run statewide.
No, I've never run statewide.
So, Mojave County could be an interesting experience for you.
It would be interesting. I actually already have friends whose parents live in Kingman.
Yeah.
That's Mojave County.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know my geography a little
yes.
bit here. And
who is that? The
they can't wait for me to do something and run. They think it would be great.
The McVeigh family?
No.
Oh,
come on.
They're from Kingman?
No, not the McVeigh family.
Yeah, I got three of the four McVeighs voted for me. It was great.
Really?
Didn't get Timothy.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing from folks all over who want me to just spend some time thinking and talking, and we'll do that. We'll
okay,
see.
That's going to be awesome. Now, last thing I want to mention is that... we had a very upsetting thing happen in the College World Series. Ooh. Going into the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, Arizona State has the lead against Texas. And Texas, in the top of the ninth, though, put in a pitcher by the name of Austin Wood.
How'd he do?
Did you see that? He got the win. Mm-hmm. He didn't do too well because he gave up a run. But the winning pitcher against our Sun Devils was Austin Wood.
A letter away.
One letter away. You would not
have got
Austin
Woody.
Wood in college.
You did?
I don't think it's the same guy, though.
No, I doubt
no,
it.
No, I doubt it's the same
It was very
guy,
heartbreaking.
It was really heartbreaking.
It's as bad
and
as it gets.
Texas. There's something, something about Texas, you know? They're just insufferable, Texas.
Hey, by the way, how's GLAD doing in Texas? Is that kind of an odd?
We have a good group of folks in Dallas.
Yeah?
Yes, the gay community in Dallas is actually rather large. And I'm going to put in a little plug for Anise Parker. Anise Parker was citywide at-large council member in Houston. Then she's been elected comptroller of Houston, I believe, two or three times citywide. And she's running for mayor of Houston. And she would be the first openly gay elected official of a major U.S. city when she wins. I think she's going to win.
Really?
Very
in Houston?
Houston.
That would be easier than, I would think, Fort
Worth
or something.
Well, yes, but even still, it's still Texas. But Anise is a great candidate, and I hope she wins.
Wow. That would be very impressive. Yep. Anywhere in Texas, I would think that would be an impressive achievement.
Yes. Yes.
My relatives, some of them were from Muleshoe, and there were they never had a gay mayor of Muleshoe.
Probably not. No, probably not in Muleshoe.
That may be down the line a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, you know.
But it could happen.
Hey.
It could happen.
It could happen.
There's one guy in particular I'm thinking.
Could have happened and we didn't know.
You know? Maybe it has
Texas,
happened. Pretty.
Texas, that's
you know
more
what? Now that I think about it. Yeah,
there was a lesbian sheriff of Austin, actually.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Open lesbian. Yeah, she beat the incumbent and served. She's in office right now. She's the sheriff.
The lesbian
of Austin
part
County.
Is not as surprising as the female sheriff.
Yeah.
Of Austin. Well, Austin's pretty liberal because
Austin
the
is
university.
Yeah, but even still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could we elect that lesbian sheriff of
Maricopa
County?
Run against Joe. Wouldn't
that'd
be
awesome.
That'd be a great race. Let's try to find one.
You know, she could kick his ass.
That would be
that.
Kind of a great race,
so
wouldn't it?
So we get that. I'm for that.
A Latina would be great, too.
Just yeah.
To kind of go
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
immigration
yeah.
thing.
Okay, could you work on that?
Yeah, I'm going to get on that right away. All right. Steve and I'll go. We'll go okay. see if we can find
it's a
one.
Deal. Well, is that a show? Are we?
That's a show.
That's a show. All right. Thanks, guys. All
Thank
right,
you.
Mayor. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Good job.